How many women do you know that church hop? They'll hear about a new preacher, and they'll go see him, and they'll listen to him for a while. They'll just be spellbound. But then first thing you know, they've had all they want of him, and they find another one. You know people like that? Yeah, I know all kinds of people like that. And these teachers fight the truth just as Jannes and Jambres fought against Moses. Their minds are depraved and their faith is counterfeit. I mean, when you look at what we have in the church today and in the world today, you see these kind of people all over the place. They're out there. Verse 9 and 10. But they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as happened with Jannes and Jambres. But you know what I teach, Timothy, and how I live, and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith and how long I have suffered. You know my love and my patient endurance. Now that should be the statement of every man in the church today. Every man should have that kind of a following. He should be teaching the truth to everybody. In other words, as a man, you should have some young people that are idolizing you as a man of God. You know that? And instead of some football player down here that's sleeping around with all the different women, they ought to be saying, that man's my idol because he walks with God. And that's the way it should be? That's the way it should be. Absolutely, that's the way it should be. Verse 11 and 12. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, but the Lord delivered me from all of it. And he'll deliver you and me from all of it too. It's amazing what's going on out there today. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I just know all of us in here love to be persecuted, don't we? No, you don't like that, do you, Betty? Why is it that we are persecuted and have to suffer so much for being Christians? Isn't that amazing? But we do, don't we? But, you know, in America, we don't know what it's like. Ethiopia the other day, some of you may have heard what happened in Ethiopia. The Muslim leaders of Ethiopia sent a bunch of Muslim men out to terrorize and kill and displace 10,000 Christians. I mean, they went and attacked them. They killed them, run them off. Well, have you been run out of your home and some of your family have been killed or beheaded by a Muslim lately? Well, hang around. You may see it in America. When you see what I see in America, that we have a pro-Muslim leader in the White House. And I thought about a little black girl I was watching on television, on the news last night. She was getting ready to go. She won some kind of an honor in school. It was on the news. And this little girl, about so big, I don't know, 12, 14 years old, and she was a black girl. Her desire was to be able to see the President of the United States. You know why she wanted to see the President of the United States? Because she's black and he's black. That's the only reason. If there's any reason we should vote for somebody, it's not because of their color. You know, I thought to myself, I thought, Lord, we had so many wonderful black men in America. Amen. I mean, I know some of them. I mean, I know some godly men that are black. Some of the most godly men I ever met in my life. I said, Lord, why couldn't you put one of them in as the first one? Why? I don't understand that. But you know, we haven't had a very good president in a long, long time. All the rest of them have been white, but there ain't been none of them really good men. They were all liars. They were all thieves. They were all cheats. They were all killers. I think it is a prerequisite to be a person that stays in government more than 2 years, you have to learn to become obedient to the New World Order. I knew one president that would not bow down to the New World Order. I was a young man. His name was John Kennedy. Amen. How long did he last? Not long. They killed him. He would not bow down to him. He told them. In fact, I heard him make a statement. I was over in Japan when he got killed. I was having breakfast that morning when I heard that he had been shot. I had just heard him recently say, there is a secret organization running the United States of America, and before I get out of office, I'm going to expose it. And a couple of weeks later, he's dead. He didn't expose it. Well, if you don't know who it is, it's a Masonic Lodge. It's a Masonic Lodge, and the New World Order is run by the Masonic Lodge. Did you know every major player in the whole world, in all countries and everything, are all Masons? Isn't that amazing? All those guys, whether it be Muslims or whatever they are, they're all Masons. They all work together in the New World Order to rule and run the world. And to think, I know preachers that are Masons. I know deacons that are Masons. I've sat down and talked with them. And what gets me, I've only seen one of those men renounce and get out of that organization that I've sat down and talked to. They won't believe me. They got a problem. I would not want to stand before the king one day when he says, oh, you were one of those Masons. You took an oath to Lucifer. I sat down and talked to a preacher with a PhD one day that was a Mason. And I told him these things. I went to his office and sat down and I told him what he was doing wrong. And he said, but Thurman, he said, I can do good in the Masonic Lodge. I said, you can do good without being a member of the Masonic Lodge. I said, how about those blood-curdling oaths that you took? He said, well, those are just words. I didn't mean what I said. I said, God said, life and death in the power of the tongue. And every man should be held accountable for his tongue. I even was in a deacon meeting one time when I made a statement about Masons. And there was three of the men in that meeting that were Masons. One of them I knew was a very devout Mason. And he just jumped up and come over and got right in my face and screamed at me in a deacon meeting and said, I need to pray for you. And I looked at him right now and told him, I said, whatever you do, that's the last thing I want is your prayers. I don't want you praying because, number one, God ain't going to hear your prayer as a Mason. So I don't want you to pray for me. I don't want it. Then I made a statement. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've told everybody in this church, in this council, that being a Mason is you're being a servant to the devil. And I said, there's not one ounce of power ever demonstrated in this church as long as I've been here, and I've been here for years. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. As a deacon on the deacon board tonight, if you let that man come back on the deacon board, I'm going to resign and I'm going to leave this church. And they said, okay. So I resigned and left that church. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be on a council with three known Masons, and not one ounce of power has ever been demonstrated in this church. We've never seen a healing and never seen a miracle. I'm not going to be a part of a church like that. I want to be a part of a church that sees God do something, don't you, Bill? You can't be a Mason and do that. He said, but we will suffer persecution, verse 13 and 14. But evil people and imposters will flourish. There's going to be lots of them. They will go on deceiving others, and they themselves will be deceived. You know, I really think that every man I've ever met, which is many that were Southern Baptists and that were Masons, I think every one of those men have been deceived. You know, they really think what they're doing is okay. Even when you show it to them in black and white and red, they still cannot get it. Their eyes are blinded to the truth. They don't get it. But I think those men really want to serve God. But they've been deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Now, Paul was telling Timothy all this. Now let's go to Luke 21, start with verse 6 through verse 36, and let's read down through there right quick about Luke 21, verse 6, and let's see some of the things what the Lord says. And I'll just read that verse 5. Some of his disciples begin talking about the beautiful stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on the walls, and Jesus said, the time is coming when all these things will be completely demolished, that not one stone will be left on top of another. I couldn't fathom that. I mean, that temple had taken 46 years to build that temple, Herod's temple. 46 years. And Jesus is saying, not one stone is going to be left on top of another. I'm sure they were just like me. Lord, how in the world? It took 46 years to build this thing. So let's see what the next verse says. It says, they said, teacher, they asked, when will all this take place, and will there be any signs ahead of time? He replied, don't let anyone mislead you. Now, boy, you need to really be careful who you listen to today, because you can certainly be led astray. You know, don't just jump off the deep end in a hurry. Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming to be the Messiah and saying the time has come, but don't believe them. I hope I'm not out in left field. I believe the time has come. I believe we're right there. Are y'all in agreement with me that we're pretty close to the last seconds of the last days? I mean, I think the signs, wow, they're just coming to pass. Well, verse 9 and 10, let's see what it says. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. These things must come, but the end won't follow immediately. In other words, when we had World War I, everybody thought it was the end. You know, I think it was 8 million people died in World War I. They said, this is it. Can't get no worse than this. This is the end. The four horsemen of the apocalypse has showed up. World War I. Well, the war to stop all wars. Well, it wasn't just a few years. It was in another one. And the Second World War, 52 million people died. Not 8, but 52 million. And the Lord says there's going to be another one, World War III, which we may already be involved in. It may have already started. In fact, some of our government leaders said World War III started on 9/11. And they may be right. I don't know. They may be, but maybe not. But anyway, in World War III, and we had 8 million and 52 million, and how many is supposed to die in World War III?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Time for Christians to be Christians, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.